Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And we're back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
And so this is a productive weekend, very tiring, very exhausting. And how was your show? It went great, other than the fact that it was freezing outside. I don't know if you've ever played drums in 40 degree weather with like 40 mile an hour per hour winds, but It was not nice.
Yeah, I can count on one hand the number of times I've played drums, so I can definitely say I have not done that. But I saw your picture you posted, and honestly, like, I was surprised I didn't see like ice hanging off your beard.
Dude, if I would have had a tauntaun, I would have sliced them open and crawled inside to stay warm, is how cold it was out there on Saturday.
And you think they only smell bad on the outside.
Yeah. But it went great. I mean, I'm pretty sure they made their money back and then some. I was afraid because it was so cold Saturday morning. We had to get there at 7:30 to start getting ready, and it was unbelievably cold Saturday morning, right there on the water, and just the wind coming off the Mississippi Sound was just brutal. And but people came out. People were braving the weather, and they stayed all day too. It went till almost midnight. Started at 11 in the morning and went to midnight, and it was a fun day. But man, I slept good Sunday night. I'll say that much.
Oh, I'm sure you did. No, I'm glad to hear it was a good time though.
Yeah, it was great. Like I said, it was cold though, man. I hope next year they'll get lucky and get it on a day when it's warmer, because it's been summer weather here for like a month now. And then all of a sudden, the day we have a music festival, it goes from like 75/80 degrees to like 40 overnight.
Only in the South can spring be kicked off, because we're doing this the first day of spring. Can it be like 50 something degrees? Because I had to wear a sweater to work. Mm-hmm. That's how cold it was here. And then I would bet money that on Christmas Day, I can wear shorts and a t-shirt and feel comfortable.
Oh, I had many times growing up, just as a kid, going outside, get a new bike for Christmas. That was always our one big present when me and my brother were kids. We would always get a bike, like a new bike or a skateboard or something for Christmas. And that was our, like, our one big present that our parents would get us. And we would just be outside, like, in shorts and a t-shirt on Christmas Day. And then, like, January 27th, it's, like, negative 10 outside. It's like, what is happening?
I only in the South, yeah, is all I can say.
But if anybody in the southern area, next year, I'll keep you guys updated. If they do another one next year, you got to come out next year, because that was such a fun day. Lots of food, lots of people just hanging out, having a good time, and lots of good music all day long. Great bands. It was so fun. It was so good. I'm really looking forward to the next one.
That's awesome.
How was your weekend?
It was good. See, Saturday, hung around the house for a bit. And we had a, so Samantha's been getting into, in addition to her wedding coordinating, she's been doing like photography on the side. Mm-hmm. And we had a photo shoot out of Navarre on Saturday. And then yesterday we went to Mobile to work a bridal expo. Because she's doing her coordinating, and then I'm getting back into doing videos, so that way I can, we can have a little bit of extra money. And the cool thing is they set us right next to the entrance, so we were one of the first groups that people saw when they came in. So we immediately got a ton of traffic, and I think we counted over 40 people stopped by our table.
That's
so
awesome.
Hopefully it leads to some good business, but it was a very busy day, because, like, me talking for extended periods of time, it's exhausting to me. Like, I can do the podcast fine, but in, like, normal social situations, it can get exhausting, and I was tired Sunday, and I also slept very good Sunday night.
I just wish I had it. I almost called into work today. I was so close to just calling it, because it's cold outside, and I'm like, you know what, we're about a week ahead at work anyway, but I was going to call out just so I could sleep today, but no, I need the money. I'm going to go to work.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I wish I could have done that, but I actually don't know if I told you, but my supervisor at my job, she left a couple of weeks ago because she got another job. So I'm running our entire department by myself. So it hasn't been too bad.
Yeah. Well, maybe the wedding stuff will take off, and maybe you can y'all can just work together on that full time.
That's the goal.
Because people always get married. There's two sure things to start a business in this world: anything dealing with death and anything dealing with marriage. One of those two.
Yep. Can you believe that in less than a month I'll have been married for a year?
I know, it doesn't feel like a year. That's crazy.
It's flown by.
We still got to do something with those pictures we took.
Yeah, I thought about those the other day. So I've got I don't know what I have going on this weekend, but if I've got some free time, I've got some ideas for it.
All right,
I just need to have time to sit down and actually do it.
Me and Derek took some really cool pictures together as a Nerd Cave Retro promo picture. So
we should do a poster giveaway.
Yes, that'd be awesome. Let's do that.
Yeah.
But we tonight is not is our monthly top five episode, and tonight we figured we would do top five game series as it was voted on, and did a Patreon poll, right?
We did, yeah.
We did, yeah. Won the Patreon poll, so we're doing top five game series. Asked you, the viewers, to send us your list, which everybody did via email, Facebook, and Discord. So if you want to be a part of our Discord, go to nerdcaveretro.com and press the Discord button, and that'll take you to our Discord page. And you can join up and be a part of the community. And so I guess we do have a couple of news stories I'd like to get to if we have time. Mr. Armez Jackson sent us a couple of really cool articles. But if we can't get to them tonight, we'll get to them next week or at the end of the show if we have time. But you know how these top fives go. They tend to go a little long. So are we ready to jump into this thing?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, I'll start us off this time with my top five. And these are my runners-up. And I feel like this one I'm going to have to explain a little bit because people are expecting this one from me. In my runners-up category, I have Castlevania. Now, it was a toss-up between that and Legend of Zelda, but I'll explain. I feel like Castlevania was at its strongest in the NES era. I like two. I like part two, but one through three, solid trilogy on the NES. Castlevania 4 on the Super Nintendo, great game. But I think Bloodlines, as far as the 16-bit era, I feel like Bloodlines was better. I actually enjoy Bloodlines a lot more than I like Super Castlevania 4. And then it kind of fell off a cliff for a long, long time. It still really hasn't recovered. Hopefully the talk at Konami will bring Castlevania back in some form or another. I'm really looking forward to that. But I feel like Legend of Zelda actually landed on my top five as the number three spot, because I feel like one is strong, two is a misstep, but as far as, you know, A Link to the Past, one of my favorite games of all time, I feel like Breath of the Wild is a great game. Of course, Wind Waker is a great game. I feel like Legend of Zelda has been more of a solid franchise throughout the years. And I think you'd agree with me there.
Oh, 100%. And I'm not going to lie. I thought Castlevania might be like in your top two.
I wanted it to be, but when I really sat down with this list, like with these, when you see my list, you'll see why it landed at the runners up spot. My other runners up are, of course, Metroid. There's a lot of great Metroid games, but you know, it's so start and stop with Metroid at Nintendo. Of course, Mega Man's on my runners up because I love 1, 2, and 3. You know, part two, when I defeated part two for the first time in early 2016, late 2015, that was the catalyst for doing this show. That's what got me back into retro gaming. You know, I was playing Broforce at the time, and I was like, you know what? I want to play some old Nintendo games. Pulled out the Nintendo, started playing Mega Man 2, looked at some, read some walkthroughs, and finally defeated that game. And that was what made me get back into retro gaming. But I do have a big gap in my Mega Man resume. I don't think I've played Part 6, and definitely didn't play any of the Mega Man X stuff. I didn't get back into it until 10. So there's a huge gap in my Mega Man library there. And of course, I love Ninja Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden 1, 2, 3 are legendary for the NES. But it of course, it went into the Xbox 360 era, and I never played those. So I really can't speak for those. That's why it didn't land in my top five. But as far as my top five, number five, we have Halo. There was a few missteps here and there with the Halo franchise, but overall, some of my favorite gaming memories are from Halo, especially Halo 1, 2 with the multiplayer. And I don't know about you, but the ending of Halo Reach is one of the greatest games ever made story-wise, because it's the Rogue One of the Halo series, and it's
I was so thinking the same thing.
Heartbreaking, that game.
Yeah, you literally feel like you have your heart ripped out at the end of Reach.
You know there's nothing you can do. Everybody's going right. to die. You love every single one of those characters, and you have to watch them die one by one, and it's a tough game to get through, really.
Yeah, now Halo Reach has an incredible story to it, and is honestly one of, to me, the most underrated games story-wise, because I think the multiplayer is strong, but story-wise, I think it's one of the most underrated games of the modern era.
And I loved Halo Wars. I wish they would continue making Halo Wars games. I love RTS games like that. Number four, we have the Resident Evil series. Resident Evil, I love that franchise so much. I mean, they did start it off strong. Two was my favorite game of all time for a long time, and then four, all the way to four is great, and then five and six are just kind of like a huge drop down, but then they brought it back up with number seven and with part seven, and there's just something about the Resident Evil world that just continues to draw me into it. I'll play any Resident Evil game any day of the week.
I had no doubt that would be on your list.
At number three, of course, Legend of Zelda, and I explain why. As there was a few missteps here and there, like I said with Part 2. People still give me heat about that. Like, if you enjoy Part 2, that more for you. I personally think it's terrible. I just do not like what they did with Part 2. But then they totally redeemed themselves with Link to the Past, one of the greatest games ever made. Of course, Wind Waker. I don't know where I was the other... About a week or so ago, I was somewhere, maybe a retro gaming store, and they had Wind Waker was on the TV. And I was like, oh, man, I want to play that so bad. I want to play that right now. But it's been a more solid series than, like I said, than Castlevania overall.
Mm-hmm.
At number two, the Super Mario Brothers series. 1, 2, 3, World, Super Mario 64. I mean, even all the way up to Galaxy. You can find a bad Super Mario Brothers game. You can't. There's no such thing as a bad Super Mario Brothers game.
I'll be honest. I even like the Mario educational games, like Mario's Missing. There's just something special about playing a Mario game.
Yeah.
No matter what the setting is, it's a feeling unlike, and I'll get into this a little bit more with my list, but there's nothing like the feeling of playing a Mario game.
Exactly. And just, I mean, if you were to come to my house, you would just see Super Mario Brother 3 stuff everywhere. Like, I love that game so much. Mario is our generation's, you know, Mickey Mouse. Like, he's the it guy. Like, he just represents everything good and right in the world, especially video games. I mean, he is the mascot for everything, and we love him for it. And even his brother, you know, he lives in his brother's shadow, Luigi, but, you know, even Luigi's got his strong suit, you know, like Luigi's Mansion and all that stuff. So it's a wonderful world to be in.
Absolutely.
And at number one, one of my favorite gaming franchises of all time is Mass Effect. Those games, I played Part 2. I mined every planet. I played every bit of DLC. One of the only games I have ever 100%ed ever. Other than Batman Arkham Asylum. Those are the two games I completely 100%ed. And I would play another Mass Effect trilogy today if one came out, which I really hope they do. But Mass Effect, like, something about that story, being that character, being in that universe was just groundbreaking to me. And I miss it. I want to go back and play those games again for the first time.
When I've played Mass Effect 1 for the first time, about 10 minutes in, I said, this needs to be a movie.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in a sci-fi movie.
And the thing is, I didn't know anything about that game the first time I played it. The first time I got it, I rented it from Blockbuster because I couldn't find anything else that I wanted to play. So I saw the box art and I was like, this looks kind of cool. And it was from BioWare. I was like, oh, BioWare, they did the Knights of the Old Republic games. I'll give it a try. Got into it, and I was a fan ever since. Like, as janky as that first game was, there was still something magical about it.
Mm-hmm. It's like Obi-Wan Kenobi said, you've taken your first step into a larger world.
I want to play the remakes. I just got to find some time to carve out, because that's a long journey to take from 1, 2, and 3.
That's going to be... You're going to have to carve out some time for that.
Yeah.
But I'd love to do the same as well. But no, those games were massively popular when they came out. And watching my friends play it is what ultimately got me into playing Mass Effect as well.
Yeah. Oh, I did have two more runners-up I missed because of the page break here. Sid Meier's Civilization games. Those, I'll play any of those any day. I still play 6 on the Switch all the time. And that is a great handheld port of that game. And of course, the Kingdom Rush games, which are available on Steam and the Switch. I think they're on Game Pass too, if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to see if Wally corrects me on that. But those games, I love me some tower defense, and I love pop culture references, and you get both of those with Kingdom Rush.
I feel like that's what you're usually playing when I turn my Switch on and I see that you're online.
Yeah.
but no, that's a really good list. I like that a lot. Good runners up too. Like the thing about gaming franchises, and I say this about every top five list we do, is when you get to the 4 and 5 spot, mm-hmm. that it's tough. Like for me, 1 through 4 was fairly easy. The order might surprise some people when I get to it, but the fifth spot was the tough one.
Yeah, but then you start juggling everything around. Well, I do like this about this, but I don't know. I feel bad if I don't put this on there, and I switch all my stuff up for the entire week before we do the show.
Yep, same. My honorable mentions, if this were a top 10 list, this would be my number 6, and that would be Pikmin for the Nintendo. I think this game came along at the right time because Nintendo needed a new franchise, because they were resting, I think, a little too much on the laurels of like a Mario, like a Zelda. So they needed something different. And I remember seeing, I think it was at E3, that the trailer for the first Pikmin game premiered. And I'm like, this actually looks like a lot of fun. And the first game came out for the GameCube, and I was hooked immediately. The gameplay is so addicting. People say Pikmin 2 is probably the better game, but I personally like the time limit you have on the first game, because you have that sense of urgency in order to complete things like grow new Pikmin, find your ship parts, and things like that. And 2 is a really good game too. I also like the third one. It's the weakest of the three in my opinion, but still worth playing if you're a fan. I'm really excited that we're finally getting a fourth installment. That's going to be a day one purchase for me.
I was just about to ask. I thought they were coming out with a new one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes out later this year.
Wow.
So, I like the fact that it takes place on Earth after humanity has either left or been wiped out of existence. So you find like old objects like... In Pikmin 2, you're able to go underground, and one of the places you go is like an old shower where you find a rubber duck, mm-hmm. and that's treasure that's worth a certain amount of money. So you find all these different objects that you're like, oh, that's really like a quarter, or that's a pacifier or a rubber duck. And there's cool little inside references like that. So yeah. I love Pikmin. Next up is Mario Kart. Might be a cliche one, but Mario Kart is its own series. It revolutionized the racing genre. There have been so many games that have copied the Mario Kart formula, but Mario Kart is still like, it's still the tried and true game that literally anyone can play.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard to do. And it, like Halo, so many fun memories, especially with Double Dash. The Wii version, which is honestly a little underrated. The new one that originally came out, I think, for the Wii U and then was ported to the Switch is also really cool. I like that they're still adding carts to it, mm-hmm. Or still adding tracks to it and things like that. It's just so many countless fun hours with Mario Kart. Another multiplayer game would be Super Smash Brothers.
See, I figured still, this would have been in your top five.
This... I really toyed around with this being at number 5. I still remember seeing the commercial for the first game for the first time and thought this is such a genius concept. The original game doesn't age as well, but it's still fun to go back and play. Melee is an incredible game. Brawl is an incredible game. Wii U version is still really good, and Ultimate obviously is amazing because you have every stage, every character. It's got a good story mode to it for those like me that like a single player campaign. And who doesn't like Smash Brothers? You get to play as your favorite Nintendo character and beat the crap out of your friends.
Yeah.
Star Fox is another one, and this didn't make my top five because much like you said with Castlevania, very strong start. Mm-hmm. Love the Super Nintendo game. Love the N64 game. Star Fox Adventures was an interesting departure, though I didn't hate it. Star Fox Assault, I think, is actually a pretty good game. But outside of that, Star Fox hasn't really been relevant in a long time. And it's one of those franchises that I wish would make a comeback.
I feel like Star Fox would make a good series.
Oh, 100%. Like a CG animated series?
Yeah.
That'd be great. I would, if I were like a major filmmaker, Star Fox would be a property that I would love to adapt.
Yeah, that would make a great Netflix series, like animated series.
Absolutely. And then my last honorable mention is Donkey Kong Country. Game changer in the Super Nintendo franchise. It brought Donkey Kong back into the limelight in a new, fun way. That entire trilogy is great. I haven't played as many of the newer installments, but I will always hold that classic trilogy in very high regard.
Oh, I mean, just, I remember seeing Donkey Kong Country for the first time, and just those graphics were just like, what am I looking at right now?
The graphics, the music, everything about those games are great.
Too bad it's like the hardest game you'll ever play in your life.
I still to this day have never beaten the original Donkey Kong Country. I've beat 2 and 3, but never part 1.
You should.
It's insanely hard.
You should try to finish it and stream it.
I'd have to watch my language. But yeah, going through my top 5, my number 5 is Banjo-Kazooie. I wish there were more installments. I hold the first game especially in such high regard because to me it is arguably the best 3D platformer of all time. I think it's a better game than Mario 64. Mario 64 set the standard for the 3D platformer, but Banjo-Kazooie perfected it. From the collectibles, the storyline, the variety of worlds you go to, you learn new moves throughout the game, so you're constantly doing something new.
That's crazy that you think about Super Mario 64 and how much they got right out the gate with that. Because that could have gone so badly that just to be the first out the gate like that.
But I think, you know, Mario was the right character to transition into 3D and test out that transition. It didn't work out so well with some other franchises that I'll get to here in just a second. But Banjo-Tooie's great. I think even Nuts and Bolts for the 360 is not bad. It's just not what I was looking for a Banjo-Kazooie game, but it is a good game in its own right. Number 4 is Halo for a lot of the reasons that you said. I remember when this came out, I was a sophomore in high school, and the anticipation for Halo was unbelievable at the time, and even bigger for Halo 2 because everyone knew what to expect.
Oh yeah.
But I can picture exactly where I was, you know, at my friend's house doing the LAN parties with 1 and 2, playing Xbox Live with Halo 3. That's the reason why I got Xbox Live, cuz I was tired of getting the crap beat out of me by my friends in multiplayer. And Halo Reach also, like we said, is an incredible story. Some of the newer versions, you know, once 343 took over, haven't been as great, but that original Halo trilogy plus Reach is, it's so amazing. Halo's one of the best trilogies of all time.
Oh, yeah, hands down.
My number 3 is Sonic the Hedgehog, and people might be shocked that it's not my 1 or 2, but I'll explain why in a second. I'm not going to go too far into it because I've talked about Sonic a lot on this show, but I love the classic games. The transition into 3D was not as kind to Sonic as it was for Mario, though there are aspects of those games that I do appreciate, mostly the storylines and the new characters they introduced. But I'll always love the Sonic franchise, and those classic games, you know, for the Genesis are some of my favorites of all time. Number 2 is Super Mario Brothers, and Mario is above Sonic because Sonic is my favorite video game character, but I would play a Mario game over a Sonic game really any day of the week because, like I said earlier, there's nothing that can replicate playing a Mario game. It's different than anything.
Yeah.
From going back and playing Super Mario World or Mario Brothers 3, or all the way up to Odyssey. There's something special and nostalgic about those of us who grew up with Mario.
Oh, yeah. Rampage is calling you out in the chat room. He said, it's because Frontiers was a flop, brought down his rating.
Hey, I liked Frontiers. Frontiers is better than probably most of the 3D Sonic games. But my number one, and it's not going to shock anyone, it is the Legend of Zelda series. It's the reason why I play video games. It's the reason why I'm doing this podcast. Had I not played the original Legend of Zelda, I probably wouldn't have gotten into video games like I did. Everything, and I agree with you about Zelda 2, it's not great, but Link to the Past was the best rebound that any developer has ever done, in my opinion. Ocarina of Time's incredible. Majora's Mask is great. There have been much more hits than misses with Zelda, as far as I'm concerned. Like,
yeah.
Zelda 2's not that great. Twilight Princess was kind of a miss, in my opinion.
See, that was such a disappointment because I never had the Wii when it first came out. I got Twilight Princess on the GameCube because that was one of the last games made for the GameCube. And I wanted that game so bad. I got it for Christmas that year, and I think I maybe played it for about 3 hours tops, and I just was not into it.
It's boring.
Yeah.
Boring game. The story's not that great.
I don't want to learn how to shoot arrows for 2 hours. Like, I don't... What are you doing, Zelda?
The story's boring. The character designs, I don't think, are that great. I think the Zoras especially look terrible.
It looked too not stylized. They were trying... If it were more style, I don't know. There's just a lot wrong with that game. I wish it was better.
I do too, and I didn't even bother to get the HD version that came out for the Wii U, because I'm like, like, I got the Wind Waker one in a heartbeat, but yeah. with Twilight Princess, I'm like, I'll pass. And obviously, like, I'm excited for Tears of the Kingdom. I'm going to be playing that a lot.
I'm
going to
clear my
out.
Schedule for about 2 weeks when that game comes out.
You and me both, my friend, but that is my top five.
Well, before we do your list, Derek, you want to do our Patreon shout outs?
Absolutely. Let's shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out Brian Piotrowski, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, the official fact checker to the official fact checker, Axblade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. Rampage, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, everyone's favorite pro wrestler, Joey Image, and of course, Mama Diamond herself,
Mama Diamond.
Donna Diamond. Thank you all so much for your continued contributions and keeping the lights on for us here at the Nerd Cave Retro Show. And because we are back at that $50 level, we are resuming our fun commentary tracks. Like, this month we did Animaniacs, and I believe we will be taking a trip to the sewers to hang out with some Ninja Turtles next.
It's a good month to be a listener of the show, because you got two commentary tracks that dropped last week.
The long forgotten about, especially by me, the Mask of the Phantasm commentary track.
Ooh, I went back and listened to it, and I text you guys the other day. I want to tell everybody the story if you've listened to it yet. There was a part in there where we were talking about Kevin Conroy, and I said they should still be making Batman the Animated Series movies, because we've got at least another good 30 years of Kevin Conroy to get Batman movies out of, and he died not long after that. I forgot I said that. I cursed him.
I completely forgot about that, too, because we did that at the end of 2020. So it's been... Yeah. Like over 2 years since it happened. I didn't remember really any of it. I didn't remember us doing it.
And I texted Derek. We have a text chain with me, Derek, Wally, and Joey Image. And I said, guys, I think I might have accidentally killed Kevin Conroy.
I don't wish that on you. No. I'm going to say you did not. No one needs to live with that guilt.
So I was listening. I was cringing when I was listening to it. I was like, "Oh man, no, please, no."
Oh man,
that hurt.
Yeah, I still miss Kevin Conroy. But on a more positive note, if you would like to be a part of our awesome Patreon community for as little as $1 a month, you can head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, be sure to send us your social media information, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
And this one, we're going to start with our Discord right now. And up first, we have Jaco Malfoy, a.k.a. Mr. Jacob Craig, my co-host over on Open Micers. He's his list starts number 5 with Elder Scrolls. I figured that was going to land on a few. 4, Life is Strange. Have you heard of this? Life is Strange?
I've heard of it, but I've never played it.
And that's that new game from Justin Roiland, is it? Or was it...
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I can't remember.
Let me look it up real fast. Life is...
Not to cut you off, but Rampage says in the chat, your angel of death awaits.
Oh, yeah, this is it's a light episodic graphic adventure video game developed by Don't Nod Entertainment and published by Square Enix European Branch, released in 5 episodes across 2015 for PlayStation 3, 4, Windows, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. I don't think I ever saw this game.
I know of it, but like I said, have not played it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look into this, but I digress. Number 3, God of War. God of War landed on a lot of everyone's lists.
I knew it would.
Number 2, Batman Arkham series. Those are great games. I'm mm-hmm. not as big a fan of Arkham Knights. Is that the one with a lot of Batmobile driving?
I think so.
Then one of the last ones they put out. I didn't like that one that much, but man, Arkham Asylum, still one of the greatest video games ever. And his number 1 is Resident Evil. Good man. You're a good man, Mr. Jacob.
Don't hear you say that too often.
Yeah. We agree on one thing, that Resident Evil is a great video game franchise.
It just took you doing your other show to make it happen. Next up, we have our awesome Discord manager, Mr. Bethany Fox. His honorable mentions, Banjo-Kazooie. I know both he and I are huge fans of that. Legend of Zelda. Fallout. I knew that would land on a list or two. Mm-hmm. And Elder Scrolls. Number 5, Redout. Number 4, Splatoon. I had a feeling that would be on his list.
Oh, yeah.
But Splatoons, those are great games.
I got to jump back into Splatoon, man. I've been playing too much other stuff.
Yeah, I need to play it. 3, Luigi's Mansion. Good choice there. 2, God of War. And number 1, Dawn of War.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we have Mr. Westshare. Number 5, God of War. Number 4, Sonic the Hedgehog. 3, Grand Theft Auto. I'm surprised we haven't seen that one yet. I was a fan of the early Grand Theft Auto games up to San Andreas, and then I kind of dropped off. Like, 5, I tried to play, but I just got bored after about 8 or 10 hours.
Loved playing Vice City.
There's
just something about driving around listening to 80s music.
Oh, yeah. Number 2, the Street Fighter series, and number 1, Legend of Zelda.
Good list. And an awesome number 1 choice.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you put this here so I could give him double the Michael Buffer style shout outs. Next up, we have I Am the Rampage. Number 5, Street Fighter. Number 4, Metroid. 3, Super Mario Brothers. 2, Resident Evil. And number 1 is Mega Man / Mega Man X. I want to try more of the Mega Man X games. I liked the first Mega Man X. It was really hard, but I still had fun playing it. So I'm curious as to how the sequels are.
Yeah, I want to go back and play it, because I tried to play Mega Man X a couple times, and it was frustrating that it kept stopping and giving me dialogue. I'm like, I just want to play the game. Stop stopping me.
Stop stopping.
Yeah. Stop stopping me. And of course, we have Mr. Donner, Party of 5. At number 5, Uncharted. I almost put Uncharted on my honorable mention.
I'm surprised that's the first time we've seen this.
I know. That's such a good, great franchise of games. Number 4, God of War. Number 3, Metal Gear Solid. Number 2, Smash Brothers. And number 1, Zelda. His honorable mentions are Kingdom Hearts, Elder Scrolls, and Halo.
And that's a great list.
I know.
That's even the honorable mentions are really good.
I know. If you want to skip Tyler, I'll do. If you want to do Axe Blade next, and then I'll do Tyler after that.
Okay. Next up, we have Mr. Axe Blade 07. His list in order: number 5, Halo; 4, God of War; 3, Metroid; 2, Super Mario; and number 1, Legend of Zelda. Another really, really good list. Like,
yeah,
that's, you could put any of those as like a number 1 and I wouldn't dispute it.
Yeah. And we have Mr. Tyler Watson, who I got it off the Discord, and all he did was just give us his list. He's like, I'm going to keep it short. I'm like, well, no, because you got to give us like the huge paragraphs that you normally do, because I love it when he does that. So he went back and he gave us a big email. And at number 5 is Persona. He said, I had no clue what I was getting into when I bought Persona 3 for the PS2, but I'm glad I took a chance on it. Personas 3, 4, and 5 are a group of RPGs with exceptional music, gameplay, story, and characters. Each one kind of draws you in their own unique way. I can't say enough good things about those three, and I highly recommend them, especially as a version is now available on every platform out there. Play them if you haven't. And I have not. I need to check out the Persona series.
Same.
Of course, number 4, The Legend of Zelda. His first exposure to Zelda franchise was at a cousin's house with their copy of Zelda 2. Ugh, gross. He says, yeah, Zelda 2. I honestly thought it represented how the games were. Imagine my surprise when I played A Link to the Past several years later. That was an experience. After I finished it, I immediately picked up Link's Awakening, and from then on, I was a fan. Side note, have you ever been really into a music artist at a point where you're listening to them on repeat all the time? Oh, yeah, that was me with Jimi Hendrix's Greatest Hits album. My first time through A Link to the Past. I can't hear All Along the Watchtower without picturing Link adventuring through the dark world. That's kind of cool.
I have to try this now.
I know. It's kind of like Dark Side of the Moon and Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I'm picturing it in my head, and it fits.
I know. Number 3, Castlevania. One of the first few games I got for the SNES as a kid was Super Castlevania 4. My mom got it from the pawn shop as a loose cart. At a pawn shop then? Since I had no instruction manual, I had no idea what was going on or how to do it. But I figured it out along the way, and man, did I love the music. Simon's theme is still my favorite song in the franchise. Whether it's a classic side-scrolling style or a Metroid style, you can't go wrong with a Castlevania game. I still play Aria of Sorrow on GBA once a year. And that's one thing you can always say is Castlevania has always had some of the best music ever for video games.
Yeah, the music from Super Castlevania 4 is excellent.
And I still listen to every version of the Castlevania soundtracks on Spotify, like the original NES music and some of the metal covers of the Castlevania themes, like Vomitron and bands like mm-hmm. that. So good. And Tyler's in the chat room, and I'm reading your list right now, sir. Two, Pokemon. He's been playing Pokemon since Red and Blue released in the U.S. in 1998 and hasn't missed a mainline game in the franchise yet. It immediately hooked him in with all the different little creatures and the collecting aspect. He's enjoyed every generation they put out, even the ones he liked the least. He can say good things about. So one of his favorite memories of the original games involves Mew, the at-the-time secret 151st Pokemon only whispered out about in rumors. He had a Game Shark at the time and put in a code to be able to catch one. So he did that multiple times and distributed them for common Pokemon to the few people at his school who also played, because he was 13 at the time and not a lot of them played. But since Mew turned out to be real, you knew what else could be real. Who knew what else could be real with this game? So the internet ran rampant with rumors. And if you want to learn about some of the more fun ones, look up Bill's Garden, the Pokegods, and Yoshi.
Yeah, God, that brings back so many memories, because I did the same thing. I had a Game Shark as well to get Mew, because I remember when they announced the because originally there were 150, and then they're like, oh, there's this secret 151st Pokemon. You're like, oh, what? But yeah, I still have a soft spot for the original games. Yellow is still my favorite Pokemon game of all time. I didn't include it on my list just because I got out of the franchise after Gold and Silver and haven't really kept up with it. So, but I love the original run of Pokemon.
Yeah, and I still haven't played any Pokemon games.
If Nintendo wants to be a game changer with their online service, they should put Red, Blue, and Yellow on the Game Boy online store.
He says in the chat room, he says he's replaying Pokemon Crystal on the 3DS right now.
Yeah, Crystal was a good one too.
And at his number one spot is Mega Man. Anyone who knows me knew what was going to be on top of this list. Got an entire shelf in my game room dedicated to it. I love everything about these games: the music, the world, the gameplay, the characters. The idea that you beat a boss and then you get their special weapon to use for yourself, brilliant. You want a fun read, search out the Mega Man comics from Archie Comics from a few years back. It even had a couple of crossovers with the Sonic comics. You want to see Super Sonic team up with Super Mega Man? They got it. And please look up some of the music acts the games inspired. Folks like Mega Ran, the Proto Men, and the Megas.
I remember that run of the comic books very well, and I still remember that page where you had Super Mega Man and Super Sonic side by side with each other, and I'm like, this is so freaking cool.
And as far as his honorable mentions, Final Fantasy, Super Mario, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Street Fighter.
These lists have been really good. Mm-hmm. Like, all of them have been great. Let's see. Next up, we have our friend Nate at Retro Gaming Dev over on Twitter. He says, though this list was tough, there are a lot of game series I really dig. Besides the five he listed, number five, Legend of Zelda. Four, Final Fantasy pre-10. I love that he emphasized that. Number three, Castlevania. Two, Super Mario. And number one, Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Man after my own heart with the Ninja Gaiden. And then we have, last one. This is the last one. Last but certainly not least, Jason May, who came in the last minute on our Facebook and said at number five, Mortal Kombat. Four, Legend of Zelda. Three, Skylanders. Skylanders landed on a list today.
Made it in.
Number two, GTA. And one, the Wonder Boy series. Mainly Wonder Boy 2. Best game ever.
best game. I read that as the comic book guy from The Simpsons. Best game ever.
I never played any of the Wonder Boy games.
I reviewed one a while back on the show, and I remember being shocked that it was part of like a extensive series. Mm-hmm. I thought there were maybe like two in the franchise. So I'll have to do more research on more, because one of them's on the Genesis Mini.
I'll have to go look at that. And I haven't fired up my Genesis Mini in a while, so I'll have to go look and see and maybe play it a little bit.
Yeah.
But thank you for your lists. Those were some those were great lists tonight. And give us more suggestions on the top five tab on the Discord, so we have some more top five suggestions on there, and we'll make another Patreon poll for next month, and let us know what you want to do as a top five list. So if you haven't joined our Discord, like I said, go over to nerdcaveretro.com. There's a little tab on there. That's our link tree. There's a little tab that says Discord. Click that. That'll take you to the Discord, and you can join the community and hang out with us, and there's a lot of cool people in there if you haven't yet. So please do. And we got a few minutes left. Do you want to do these news stories real quick before we get out of here?
Sure.
All right, let me play our music here. And like I said, these were submitted to us by Armez Jackson. And if you have a story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And the first story is from My Nintendo News. Four more retro games available for Switch Online members. A little more than a couple weeks ago, the Nintendo added Metroid Fusion to Nintendo Switch Online. Let's see, because of this, it was only a matter of time before other libraries received some additions of their own. Nintendo has announced that three retro libraries have received additional games. Kirby's Dream Land 2 and Burger Time Deluxe are available in the Game Boy library. Meanwhile, Nintendo added Side Pocket to the SNES library and Xevious to the NES collection. So finally, Nintendo giving us some more games in the NES and the SNES library.
Man, I'm so excited they added Side Pocket. That's what I've been looking forward to the most. I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am for that. So here's the thing. The Game Boy editions, I think, are cool. I didn't know there was a Burger Time Deluxe, but I did like the arcade game, so I'll give that a shot. Kirby's Dream Land 2, I think, is a must add. That hasn't really been available, to my knowledge, for a while on any platform. Like I know Kirby's Dream Land 3 for the Super Nintendo has been available for a while. But those are good additions. Xevious, I don't know much about, so I'm not going to knock it.
It does look like something that I would like to play. It looks like a shooter, but I think you were about to say what I think you were going to say about Side Pocket.
Now, don't get me wrong. I like a good game of pool. I played pool quite a bit when I was a kid, but there's so many other good games you can add for the Super Nintendo.
Weren't there like 400 or 500 games for the Super Nintendo? You only have about 40 of them up there right now. Like, why Side Pocket? Like, do you just have like the biggest nerd on the planet, like, picking the games out that are going to go on the Super Nintendo store? Really?
This new Side Pocket, guys. I like playing pool.
I think what they did was they all sat around in a circle. They put all they stole the top hat that I normally use for defending bad movies. They put all the Super Nintendo games in the hat, and they're like, whatever one we pull out, that's what we're going to put on the store. Side Pocket, great. Throw it up there now.
It reminds me of our little skit during the during
PensaCon.
It's like, here's Lester the Unlikely for the Super Nintendo. That's not what I asked for. You're gonna take it. You're gonna like it.
Whatever, Nintendo.
Yep.
This I'm actually kind of excited about, because I watched the trailer right before we started. Our last story comes to us from NintendoEverything.com. Beat-em-up game Toxic Crusaders announced for Switch. RetroWare has announced Toxic Crusaders, a new beat-em-up game for the Switch, and is expected to wrap up development later this year. And I'll read a brief synopsis of the story. And from the first sentence, it hooked me. When the evil Dr. Killamoff attacks, only one team of hideously deformed creatures of superhuman size and strength stands between him and his plans for global pollution. The Toxic Crusaders, Earth's last, greatest, and ugliest hope for survival. The hottest heroes of 1991 return for a radical, radioactive beat-em-up for a new era featuring awesome action, crushing combos, and more toxic waste than you'll know what to do with. I feel like I'm reading the synopsis of a Captain Planet episode.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the Toxic Crusaders cartoon back when you were a kid?
I did not, no.
I loved it because I was such a fan of the Toxic Avenger movie, and this was the era where they made cartoons for kids that were based off of rated R horror movies, which is what the Toxic Avenger was. And they created a superhero team called the Toxic Crusaders and made a cartoon out of it, and we loved it. And this is so exciting that I'm gonna actually get to play the Toxic Crusaders in a beat 'em up game. Like, this is, I was what, 14 years old in 1991, this makes my 14-year-old self scream.
Yeah, I watched the trailer, like I said, right before we started, and within 15 seconds, I'm like, yep, I'm playing this. Like, yeah. The graphics are great. I love the music that they use for the trailer. It looks just like pure, unadulterated fun.
Yeah. Tyler did put up a PSA in the chat room. Don't forget the Wii U and 3DS eShops close 1 week from today. And today is the
March 20th.
Monday, March 20th. So you have 1 week to go get what you want before you can't anymore. So if you want to get your stuff, now is the time to do it.
Yeah, I need to do that.
But going back to Toxic Crusaders, it is expected digitally on Switch as an eShop download. Pricing is set at $24.99, which seems a little high, but I was expecting maybe $15, $20, but we'll see. I mean, it might be totally worth the $25 price tag.
Yeah, no, it looks great.
But if you've never seen Toxic Avenger, you're out there listening to this, go watch the Toxic Avenger. It's so... here's our PG-13 rating. It's so batshit crazy, you'll enjoy it. It's a trauma film. And if you don't know what trauma films are, oh man, those were great movies from trauma.
Google it and have fun with it.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, Toxic Avenger. Just, you're going to have a good weekend when you find out about these movies.
I do remember the Killer Tomatoes cartoon.
Yeah, they made a cartoon off of that too. Oh, yep. Man, they were crazy back in the 80s and 90s. Like, oh, RoboCop, a hard rated R movie where a guy shoots another guy in the ween. Let's make a kid's cartoon out of it.
Rampage said that's how much Streets of Rage 4 was.
Okay. Well, that's not bad. Yeah, well, yeah, Shredder's Revenge was 30, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do remember the Conan cartoon.
Yep.
Tyler. I remember they made a Rambo cartoon, too, so.
What?
Yeah. You didn't know they had a Rambo cartoon? Yes, they did. I promise you. Go look it up.
I'll look it up after the show.
Everything rated R in the 80s had a cartoon component to it. Yeah, the Mr. T cartoon had a cartoon. He had a cereal, too.
Rambo, the Forces of Freedom.
Yes. I told you.
Oh, this came out the year I was born.
Yeah.
Based on the character of John Rambo from First Blood and the subsequent films First Blood and Rambo First Blood Part 2.
We should see if we can do that as a commentary track.
Like, how violent is the cartoon?
Not at all. I mean, you know, G.I. Joe level violence.
Oh, okay. Oh, Alan Oppenheimer was the voice of the Colonel. That's cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should definitely do that. See if we can find it streaming. If not, I'm sure there's a complex way of seeing
it. I will do this, and I will go in completely cold.
Awesome.
I will not watch a second of the cartoon.
I'm so excited about that. But that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you, everyone that submitted their top five list this week. Derek, what's going on over at the Derek Diamond Experience?
Well, if you didn't get enough of this top five, you can head over to the Derek Diamond Experience, where I list my top five movie posters, which I give credit to my co-host here for giving me the idea. It was really hard to do.
I know.
Like, that was a hard list to come up with, but a lot of fun. You know, like, movie posters are fantastic, along with movie trailers, as far as like getting you excited for a movie. So you can check that out. The episode is on YouTube and all your finer podcasting platforms. You can just head over to linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast.
And go check us out over at the Open Micers podcast, at Open Micers. We got some really good episodes over the last couple of weeks. Last week, we had a Hostful Goodness episode where we talked about Jacob's grandma eating a bouncy ball that had been in Katrina floodwaters. And if you're like, what? Just go listen to the episode.
Well, you hooked me.
Yep. Go check it out. And so you can find out exactly what I'm talking about. At Open Micers on Twitter and Instagram. And I think that's it. Is that everything?
I think so.
Let's go ahead and walk out the door, and I'm shutting the lights off. If you want to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. We're at nerdcaveretro.com. That is our link tree. That takes you to our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, merch shop, and like I said before, our Discord page. NCR merch takes you straight to our merch shop, where you can get hats, t-shirts, stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, whatever your nerdy little heart desires. You can follow us on social media at nerdcaveretro, at jakefunktastic, and at Derek_Diamond. If you haven't done it, leave us a review and or a 5-star rating on all podcasting platforms. And that's going to take us out the door. Derek, please let them know what it was all about.
Wow.
Checker, eh?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.